Hey, it is 8:05 and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Welcome. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and it's that time of year. Osperg, the Oregon student, let me make sure that I say it exactly right. The Oregon Student Public Interest Research Group this week announced its 25th annual Trouble in Toyland report. You know what? I was just listening to Democracy Now. We could do a lot better by our kids, by the way. And we're lucky this morning to be with John Bartholomew from Osperg to talk a little bit about what's going on with toys, toxic toys. How is it that there's still so many poison, dangerous toys on store shelves here in the 21st century? John, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lisa. It's always a pleasure.
Great. You know, it's so funny, John. Osperg, I mean, the public interest research groups nationwide have been doing the toxic toy report, Trouble in Toyland report, for so long. It seems like, you know, why is this keep going on and on? But as I was doing a little bit of research on just toy recalls, you know, what is it? One of these toy companies, was it Mattel? One of these toy companies recalled millions of toys this year. Millions of toys this year. And that was just one company. Can you talk a little bit about the list that that the PERGs do, that Osperg releases? It has specific toys on it. But, John, I mean, what's your take on how it is that there's still so many dangerous toys on the shelves year after year? Why is that?
Well, it's the simple answer is profits. But I would note that when we started doing these reports 25 years ago, it was very easy to find dangerous toys on store shelves, things that were poorly marked as being hazards. You know, there actually was more lead and metals and other chemicals on the store shelves back then. And the fact that we've got a good number of recalls in the last year is actually due to improved enforcement, but there was a lot more dangerous toys on the shelves 25 years ago. The work that we've done exposing these problems has led to changes, such as 2 years ago, the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act, which gave the Consumer Product Safety Commission more of a budget to actually enforce the laws. It gave them a better ability to speed up recalls of dangerous products. And it required pre-market testing of toys. And so now we're actually seeing fewer dangerous toys getting on the store shelves in the first place. But to answer your question directly, the why are we still seeing dangerous toys on the store shelves? Well, it's because, you know, they're often cheap to, you know, produce these things in foreign countries that don't have the same kind of standards that we have here, even though they're supposed to meet those standards when they get across the ocean. But, you know, they skimp on the testing sometimes, which is why you need groups like the CPSC, an independent government agency, to enforce the law, and you need groups like ours and several others out there. Consumers Union does some testing too. Just doing some spot checking to see what's out there.
CPSC, Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Yes.
This morning we want to open up the phone lines. I mean, I don't want to necessarily, I don't want to really promote massive consumerism here, and I know that listeners on KBOO don't support that anyway, but I do want to ask people, what was your favorite toy when you were a kid, and what toys maybe are on your gifting list this year? I've been thinking a lot about it because I get to go to a big family reunion this weekend, and I actually what I'm looking at is things that we can make, you know, toys that we can make, which is really fun. So the number to call, 503-231-8187. So much of this issue, too, this season is going to be tied up with the unemployment rate, right, and household poverty rates. The Economic
Right.
Policy Institute this week, actually just yesterday, released a study that showed more than one in five children under age 18 and almost one in four children under age 6 were living in poverty in 2009. Many observers say that the 2010 statistics are going to be far worse. But, so John, now the Osperg list, does it have specific toys on it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Can you list them?
Yes, I can. And one of the things that I would like to start with relates to what you just said about unemployment rate and people not having as much money. There was a pair of plastic handcuffs with a shiny metal coating that we found at Toys R Us in their seasonal section as intended to be a stocking stuffer. This pair of handcuffs is, it contains 20 times the federal limit of a metal called antimony. Antimony can cause cancer and causes liver and kidney damage, among other issues that that are related to this metal. And so 20 times the limit. This product was a dollar. You know, it, oftentimes we find dollar stores carry a lot of these more dangerous toys. In fact, when I did some research on BPA and baby bottles, it was the dollar stores that I found the most of those items in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a shame because, you know, maybe the, you know, maybe Target and the big retailers are actually getting these things off their store shelves, but then they sell them to these discounters. And so they're still out on the market for people of lower income to buy. So so that's one of the toys that we found. There was also a Handy Manny construction set that we did get at Target that it was technically in compliance of the choking standard laws because there were toys that just barely stay above, maybe by an eighth of an inch, of the choke tube standard test that the CPSC has established. Now, so the CPSC has this little hard plastic tube that they put toys in, and if any part of it...
it's like an inch wide or something.
Yeah, it's 1.25 inches wide. It's got this weird kind of angled bottom so that
it simulates a trachea for a baby.
Yeah, except that most tracheas are soft, not hard-edged.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cartilage, but it's not hard plastic. And these, there were several pieces in this building set that just so barely met the standard that they were technically legal. But what we're advocating for and what listeners can do today to take action is to, we have a website, toysafety.net, that we've set up where there's a petition to the CPSC to improve the safety standard on the choke tubes so that it's a little bit wider because children have choked on toys that pass that test.
The tube shouldn't be wider, but the restriction should be more specific to make sure that people aren't skating through on these small margins.
Right, well, yeah, we're asking for the tube to be just a little bit larger. In fact, what we advocate for parents to use to test for their toys that they're buying for their children is to take an empty toilet paper roll from their house, and if a piece of that toy goes through the toilet paper tube, it's unsafe. It's a choking hazard. It's something everybody has, and so we're asking the CPSC to make the standard a little bit closer to that size so that these, you know, pieces that just skate by the existing standard won't pass in the future. And all that really means is that they can't sell it to children under three, and they have to have a warning label on the front. And a lot of this information is so that parents know that if you have a child under three in your household, you might be buying your toy, this toy, for an 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a 3-year-old in the house or a 2-year-old, that kid's going to put everything in their mouth. And so be careful. Be aware that what you're buying for an older child could impact the younger child.
And I just want to jump in and say, this is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're live on the phone with John Bartholomew from the Oregon State Public Interest Research Group, the Oregon Student Public Interest Research Group. We're talking about the annual report, Trouble in Toyland. It's a report where OSPIRG policy directors and volunteers fan out, right, John, and go to the toy stores and look around armed with a couple of like standards, toy safety standards, and look and see what they think are some of the most dangerous toys on the shelves, just to bring this issue back and draw attention to it. Because, John, when I did a little bit of back, just a little bit of back research on this, there are so many, even if there might be fewer actual toys that are dangerous to kids, really, the market is still pretty much flooded with stuff that can really hurt people, including this issue about the antimony in the children's mood rings, necklaces, and other cheap items that are made out of sort of fakeish metal. And we're always looking at the lead poisoning on the toys. And we're opening up the phone lines. I mean, if you have something to contribute to this conversation, is there some kind of toy that you think is really dangerous that you want to get the word out about? Or if there's some kind of toy that you think is really wonderful that you think people should look at, the number to call to get on the air here is 503-231-8187. And John, I mean, this issue about the toys, the toy safety, I feel as though on one level, it's easy to just ignore it. But on the other level, when I was looking at some of these statistics, some of the people that are most likely to end up in the hospital, something like more than 250,000 kids, right, a year, they are little kids that are swallowing magnets and things like that. Who's right. most likely impacted by this, John? And, you know, why is it important?
Well, obviously, it's small children, and it does tend to disproportionately impact low-income small children because, like I said before, a lot of these toys are more likely to be purchased at dollar stores where they kind of throw the crap into, the discount places. And, and without tough standards, you're going to see more and more of these things. We're seeing a lot fewer problems these days about magnets in toys, because of the work that we and other organizations have done to show the risks there's these new, small, powerful magnets that are often in children's toys. You know, these aren't the same kind of things that are on the back of the refrigerator magnets. These are these little kind of pill-shaped things that are really strong. And they look like candy to kids. And, small child, pop one of these in their mouth, okay, maybe that's fine. They pop two in their mouth, they're in trouble, because they will find, these magnets will find each other from opposite sections of the
gut,
different
yeah.
sections of their intestines, yeah. and rip holes. They will rip holes in your intestines. And luckily, because of new standards, we're seeing a lot fewer problems with that. That said, I mean, just in the most recent year, we have statistics. We had 3 children die from choking-related injuries. And over the past 5 years, 15 children have died from choking-related injuries. And, again, it's, while I say that it's often, lower income, that's more for like the poisons, the leads and the cadmiums and the antimonies. Choking hazards can impact absolutely anybody, and all of these things can impact anybody. We found a tiara at Kmart that just barely met the new standards for lead. It was a little princess tiara and jewelry set, and it was had 87 parts per million of lead in the coating. Well, the new standard is 90 parts per million, so it technically passed the law. But scientists haven't established that there is such a thing as a safe
factor for lead exposure.
For lead.
Right.
and lead, I mean, just so people know, lead in toys causes lower IQ, it causes behavioral problems, it impacts the brain in many, many ways. And, of course, people can have acute lead poisoning that can cause all sorts of neurological damage. So, I hear sometimes people saying, well, I played with lead toys when I was a kid. Nothing bad happened to me. And, well, maybe something bad did happen to you.
So, again, this is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We're talking about hazardous toys, Trouble in Toyland, the annual Public Interest Research Group report was just released this week. And we're talking with John Bartholomew from the Public Interest Research Group. Again, the number to call, don't wait till the last minute. If you've got some toy that you think is really great that people should be looking at to give to a kid, even if it's a toy that you make, We'd love to hear your suggestions. You know, everybody's going to be thinking about how to gift our kids, our cousins, our grandkids, little kids, because really, in a lot of ways, I feel like that's what the holidays are always about, how to have an excuse to spoil the little kids. Give us a call, 503-231-8187. What should we be giving the kids? If anybody listened to Democracy Now! Before this show, that whole show, the interview with Dr. Gabon Maté, looking at what is the best way to educate our kids, I feel as though this issue is all about exactly what they were talking about on Democracy Now! As well. And, you know, how do we enrich our kids' lives? What is behind these issues of what's bad for the kids? You know, it's the same kind of thing. You know, that they were talking about in the show before, you know, what is a quality experience for the kids? You know, we're talking about dangerous products and how to, in a minute I want to talk with John about how do you tell if a product is dangerous when you see it on a store shelf. But, I mean, this is the bigger issue of how do we take care of our families? What is, from a consumer point of view now, what is the most responsible way to nurture our young people, our teenagers too? Because, you know, John, we've been talking about the choking hazards for toddlers, because toddlers are the most likely people to end up in a hospital emergency room around an unsafe toy. But of course, you know, when you're looking at these issues of the carcinogenic metallic finish on your mood rings, your cheap jewelry, that doesn't end. I mean, that's the kind of thing that teenagers love to get as well. And the number to call, 503-231-8187. John, I'm a huge fan of the dollar store. I'm just going to put that out. And there are some awesome, awesome dollar stores here in Portland. There's even one I'm thinking of that's a small mom and pop, or actually it's a girlfriend, a boyfriend dollar store that I really like a lot. And I'm not going to push anybody's business. But what I like about going to the particular dollar store that's my favorite is that the toy section has classic toys. Mm-hmm. It's got books. It's got coloring books and crayons. This store that I'm thinking of has little tiny packs of modeling clay that are basically, the modeling clay is shaped like crayons. So it's got like 36 tubes of modeling clay for a dollar for kids. You know, you love to enrich your kids' lives with art experiences. They've got a whole array of different rubber dinosaurs, plastic dinosaurs. That was always my son's favorite toy, plastic dinosaurs. And it actually, yeah, it changed his life. And, you know, my daughter's life too. My daughter used to take our plastic dinosaur, our rubber dinosaur set, and she would put her Barbie clothes on it. It was transformational for everyone to see that. You know, but the question is then, when you see some place where it looks like this is a wonderful deal, this is exactly what I want my kids to be playing with, bubble juice, whatever. John, I mean, how can a person go through an aisle and sort out the dangerous things that have lead? Or how can you tell by looking at a package whether it's got antimony or lead in it? I mean, how did you guys sort that out?
Well, that's actually very tough for parents to deal with, and that's why, you know, we've been advocating for the CPSC to have better funding and to be able to do better spot checking and also for the pre-market testing, too. What we do, we actually have tools that parents don't have available to them. We have an X-ray fluorescence device that we go out to stores and we do kind of scans that we can sense if some items have a certain level of metals. And then we take that, we buy those products, and we take them to an EPA-certified lab to do, you know, the real proper testing. And they're the ones that give us the results. But there are some things that parents can look out for. First of all, a lot of toys that have kind of a shiny metal coating are at more of a risk of having items like antimony and cadmium or lead in them. They often use those. I mean, all these, the handcuffs that I mentioned and the tiara that I mentioned, both are kind of this shiny surface metal. And, that's not to say that all items with shiny surface metal or, you know, shiny coating like that has any of these, but it's a red flag you might want to be careful of. Two, soft plastics. Soft plastics, often made of PVC. You might want to look for things that say PVC-free or phthalate-free. Phthalates, we found a Dora the Explorer backpack that it's mostly kind of this furry backpack, but then it's got a little mouth on it and eyes, you know, because character from the show, little backpack that talks, it's kind of got this really soft plastic mouth and eyes. Well, we tested those, and the mouth had 15% concentration of a particular phthalate. Now, phthalates are chemicals that can cause all sorts of reproductive and developmental problems, such as early onset puberty and malformations of genitalia if a woman is exposed while she's pregnant. The child may have all sorts of problems. So you want to look out for soft plastics. And then the third thing I would say is, you know, on the choke test, you know, take that toilet paper roll with you and see if things will fit down that.
Okay, and this is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're live on the phone with John Bartholomew from the Oregon Student Public Interest Research Group. We're talking about the Trouble in Toyland report that was just released this week. The number to call, 503-231-8187, and we have a caller. We have Warren on the air. Warren, what do you think?
Yeah, hello. I've got kind of a shameless plug for the nonprofit I work for. We have a holiday gift, or a seasonal gift, where we're selling bags of seed balls through our program.
Oh, you mean like for juggling balls and stuff?
No, they're seed balls. They actually take clay, compost, and wildflower seed and roll them up into little balls. And
dude,
then you can take those and you can just toss them around, like ride your bicycle down the road and toss them in the open spaces that you'd like to have more beauty. Some people call it bomb the blight. But
bomb the blight?
Bomb the blight.
Wow.
So, but if you'd like to check that out, you can go on to our website, myurbanabundance.org. And we have little bags of $3 sea balls. And the program we do is we host these workshops where we make up big batches of them, and half of them we put into a retail program as a fundraiser for our nonprofit, and the other half we give out to be distributed, just be spread in open spaces.
Warren, I really like that idea because, I mean, as I'm really old, okay? And I was a totally in-your-face mommy, and unfortunately for my kids, who are now big, hairy teenagers, I'm still an in-your-face mommy. And we did a lot around dirt. Kids love dirt. And it was always amazing to me when my kids were little how many people got very upset about dirt and kids' proximity with dirt. And when you compare this to some of the toys that John's talking about, Antimony, lead, la 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 la, dirt looks real good. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And well, great.
And if you throw them, you can let the little roots start growing off the sides of them as the rain starts hitting them, and it's pretty kind of fun to watch too. So kids would like it. So
thanks a lot, Warren.
Yeah, myurbanabundance.org if you'd like to find out more about them.
Okay, great.
All right, bye-bye.
And do we have another caller? Uh-oh, here comes LJ. You know what? LJ dropped off a flyer, Sleeping Bag Drive, Helping Portland's Homeless, sleepingbagdrive.com, to serve those in need in and around St. Francis Park and other areas of Portland. So LJ actually dropped this by earlier this week, and he's hoping that we will announce it. Laughing Horse Books, Red and Black Cafe, Microcosm Publishing, oh my God, we love them, Alberta Co-op Grocery, have teamed up to collect the sleeping bags. So LJ, tell us a little bit more about the sleeping bag drive.
Oh, thanks for the time, Lisa. Thank you for taking my call. All right. It is unacceptable from my point of view and my collective members' points of view for people to freeze to death on the street.
Amen.
So what we've been doing is we've been collecting sleeping bags, money, tarps at the locations that you've mentioned, and we have been distributing them to the homeless folks around in the area of St. Francis Park. And we did our first drop on last Sunday, and we distributed about 25 sleeping bags then. And then we're going to do another. We're doing collections now, and we're going to do another one on December 17th. And it's all about keeping these folks warm and and ensuring their safety. So, anyway.
And the website, again, is sleepingbagdrive.com.
Right.
Rock on. Rock on, LJ. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Lisa.
Sure.
Thank you for the work you do, LJ.
Oh, nothing to it. Again, having Portland citizens freeze to death is not an acceptable thing.
Especially in this weather.
Great. Yeah, really. Okay,
all right.
Take care. Thank you very, very much, Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know what, John? LJ is bringing up something that really strikes me also around this issue of toxic toys that probably a lot of people are not thinking about very well. This is also the time of year that people that don't have kids are probably contributing toys to toy drives like the Sunshine
yeah.
Division. And so all of these issues they still count when you're making contributions to Make-A-Wish trees and things like that. And one of the things that strikes me is every time I go to the dollar store, especially during this time of the year, they're always doing, and this is a different topic of a different show, but they're always doing a toy drive for military families, which part of me goes, oh my God, are you telling me that military families are so impoverished in this country that the dollar store is collecting toys for the kids? Anyway, that's a different topic. But, you know, there's a lot of people. I wanted to take a moment to, because of the weather, this is the beginning of the cold season. I wanted to take a minute to put out there some of the information about warming centers, because there's a couple new warming centers that the city has cooperated with people to open. Warming centers that allow people to bring in their dogs and their pets, and warming centers, that's places people can go at night. Right. And stay there. Like it's often from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And there's a couple of day warming centers as well. But I know that people are going to want to be, figuring out a way to collect a whole bunch of really wonderful toys for kids that really need enrichment in their lives. And this issue is still the same, no matter who the kids are. So just wanted to absolutely put that out there.
Yes. And I would say the vast majority of toys on store shelves are safe. And so I really would encourage people to go out and support these toy drives and not worry too much. I mean, we're trying to give people tips so that they're more confident when they go out shopping. And if people have smartphones or just, regular cell phones with Internet access, we've actually set up a new tool so that once you're out shopping, you can check the lists of dangerous toys that we've identified and also check the list of what's been recalled by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Go to toysafety.mobi, and there you can access all this information at your fingertips.
Oh, that's great. I think we have another caller as well. Robert is on the line. What do you think, Robert?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say good morning to the both of you.
Good morning.
Thank you. And I got to admit, when you mentioned that your kids played in the dirt and had more fun with dirt, it made me smile and laugh. We had a neighbor, an old fella that lived next door to us, that used to say, God made dirt so dirt don't hurt. Put it in your mouth and let it work. And basically what he meant by that was, we lived on a farm, and we had a big family. Some of us kids worked outside. Some of us kids weren't as strong and ended up doing inside chores, and I have one sister in particular, and I'm not picking on her, it's just my father used to scream at her when she had her children, hey, this is the problem, you don't let them get sun, you don't let them get dirt, you don't let them go out and play, and they have allergies and they're going to develop allergies. And we've lost that whole thing. Everybody's, talking about, how much of these horrible substances are in these horrible plastic toys that we're buying and filling our landfills with. I've got a different approach. I have a little nephew, and I'm kind of a craftsman. I save every little scrap of wood, every little scrap of wood. And when I get a chance, I sand them down. And when my nephew was 4 and 5 years old, I used to throw boxes of just every kind of shaped block you can imagine at him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he used to tear it up. He used to build cities, and he has one of the most vibrant imaginations you can think of. And my suggestion to people is there's cabinet shops around town. Some of the big box stores even have cull lumber sections. Go buy some wood. Go buy some, watch out for anything pre-finished, but sand it down, And the best gift you can give your kids is an imagination.
You know what, Robert? Yeah. You can also go on Craigslist, and people are giving away piles of wood like that. It'll say free wood.
Exactly.
And it's like wood that's left over from somebody's something or other project. I have a friend that's he's kind of addicted to finding, just looking through free things on Craigslist. And you do have to use your head a little bit about the treated wood and stuff like that.
Exactly.
But it's not brain
green,
surgery.
It's pressure treated. It's got cyanide in it. You don't want to mess with it. You don't want your kids playing with that.
Right.
But for the most part, like you said, Craigslist, I know there's good-hearted people out there that, you know, I'm out in the country. I can't go into town with boxes of wood and drop them off for people every day. But I know there's people out there that, you know, can pre-cut some of this stuff and just offer it up for kids, you know. And, you know, hopefully they're listening, and hopefully, you know, people will use their own imaginations to figure out a way to, you know, pull away from this consumer Christmas monster that we have going, where we line the pockets of corporations and the Chinese, and, you know, pretty much we sap ourselves dry every year.
It's, yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Robert. Thanks for calling.
You all have a wonderful day.
And this is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're live on the phone with John Bartholomew of the Oregon Student Public Interest Research Group. The organization this week released their 25th annual Trouble in Toyland report that looks at toxic toys, toys that are on the market that you would buy off the store shelves that might be dangerous for small children or any children of any age, actually. So we've been talking with John about some of the specific toys that he and volunteers and staff from Osperg went around the Portland area and went shopping, looking at toys, and basically just trying to put the word out about what kinds of issues remain for toy consumers, people picking up toys for kids for the holidays, because as you've been told a bazillion times, this Friday is the biggest shopping day of the year. I don't even know if that's true anymore, if it's just something that we tell each other all the time. I know that Saturday is the Portland metro area's small business celebration day, which is also always nice to mention. But John, you know, so now you've had a lot of qualifiers with the list of dangerous toys, and you've shared some of the toys, and we've talked a little bit about how people can, what people should be looking for if they're looking to purchase some toys for their little kids, which also goes if people are going to the Goodwill or looking for secondhand
yep.
toys. I mean, these hazards, they don't just disappear because someone gave their toys to the Goodwill. But John, what do you think is the most important lesson or knowledge that anyone listening to us right now should take away from the research that you and Osperg did on toy safety for little kids?
Well, there's probably the top thing is just parents should be aware of what they're buying. I find it amazing sometimes that people just blindly go into stores and, you know, they're not really paying attention.
People assume if it's there, it's safe.
Yeah, if you put it there, it's safe. And also, if it's, you know, they get influenced by advertising. It's like, oh, well, this is the hot toy of the year. It's always amazing to me what the, you know, these fads that we have, whether they're Cabbage Patch dolls or Juju pets, which I'm not even sure there is one big bad doll or toy this year. But, you know, it's all marketing. And people should just step back and pay attention. Listen to the last caller and think about what really is in the best interest of my child. And that can still mean that they're buying stuff off the store shelves, but they should be looking out for things like choking hazards, be looking at the labels, because we've worked long and hard to make sure that these products are labeled. Now, I was just talking to a toy store worker yesterday, and she was telling me how she has parents who have come in and said, well, this says for ages 3 and up, but my 1-year-old is really advanced. And she's like, yeah, apparently every child in this town is really advanced, because I never hear anybody saying that their child is average. Those warning labels are there for a reason. There's developmental things that no matter how advanced you think your child is, you know, a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old is going to stick stuff in their mouth. So make sure that you pay attention to those labels. And so pay attention. And hopefully, you know, pay attention to what's going on in the world of politics, because that influences all of these things. I mean, years and years of deregulation led to there being more hazards on the store shelves. You know, the reason that you had all these companies moving over to China to get cheap labor and cheap products to produce over here, that led to more lead and cadmium and antimony in their in toys and other children's products. So pay attention to that as well. And that's why we are urging people to go to toysafety.net and sign the petition to at least improve the choking standard. But also, you know, get on our list so we can inform you as to what's going on with challenges to the funding for the Consumer Product Safety Commission. That agency is the tool that we use to make sure that products are safe. And, you know, industry is going to want to try to, you know, do whatever is the most profitable. And if they're not being called on dangerous chemicals in the toys, they're going to get away with it if it's cheaper. And so we got to make sure that somebody calls them on it, and that's the CPSC's job.
This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We're talking about toys. What are good toys for kids? What are toys that you should watch out for kids? And the number to call, 503-231-8187. I couldn't let this hour pass without pointing out a big article that was in the New York Times. I think it was on Sunday. And also, I think there was another article on Saturday about the what research is showing on the cognitive impact that video games, computers, computer usage, extreme internet absorption has on kids of all ages. And this tendency that people have now to take their smartphones and their eye touches and things like that and hand them to their babies. Because, I mean, and a lot of people, and I don't need to judge this, this is a topic for a show of its own, but the issue that people want their kids at an early age to be exposed to what we all consider to be the means of production, which is computers, computer technology. But now there is some pretty amazing research on the impact that that has on kids. And I think, John, your Trouble in Toyland report doesn't look at the impact of like violent video games on kids. That's not what you're looking at. You're looking at physical threats to kids.
Right. We're looking at physical threats. Toxics in particular. You know, we've worked for a long time on improving federal toxics policy, and there's still a lot of room to be a lot of room for improvement there. But I would note that I've watched parents give their child their cell phone, their toddler, a cell phone, which the toddler immediately sticks in their mouth. And I've seen them do it with, you know, keys and, you know, the little fobs on keychains and stuff. Those things are designed for adults and adult safety standards. And I can only imagine what's in a cell phone battery. And you really want to have your child close to that, sticking it in their mouth? I certainly wouldn't. So that's something that, again, it goes back to what I had just said about pay attention. Pay attention to what you're doing and think about what you're exposing your child to. We're not trying to be a nanny state here in any way, shape, or form. We're just urging you to pay attention. And when there's people who are getting away with things that you won't even know about, that's when we're going to step in. We're concerned about toxics policy, but we don't have anything, any position on violence in video games.
I just knew that someone was going to be bringing that up, because when we do look at nurturing the kids and what are people likely to be purchasing for kids and households of kids as gifts this holiday, I'm thinking it's going to be, what is that called, Tour of Duty or whatever it's called?
Call of Duty.
Anyway, the number to call, 503-231-8187. And we have Jeff on the phone. Jeff, what do you think?
Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello indeed to you, and happy Thanksgiving for what that may be worth. I believe, frankly, that every day is Thanksgiving Day, but that's a tangential comment that we'll leave at that. Thank you to your guests, too, for this important information.
You're welcome.
And
Thank you.
Speaking of paying attention to, I've often said you are what you eat and you are what you pay attention to, and we pay attention to some pretty rotten things in our country and our culture. I just wanted to put out the, Besides, thank you, Lisa, for mentioning the fact that some parents give their children cell phones with white noise tuned on it so that to keep them quiet, and it's the most frightening biological experiment we've ever conducted on our own children, and I think it's that's got to stop. But I wanted to offer, Lisa, this on the subject of toys, this basic philosophical tenet that I've held for some time, and that is this simple thing. There is no such thing as a toy gun. And that's the moral issue that we're dealing with, and same with the video games. And thanks very much for letting me make that comment. Again, happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
Happy. You know, thanks a lot, Jeff. It's really interesting when you look at that issue of guns, because I think that the state of Oregon 2 years ago passed some sort of new law about people are not allowed to sell ancillary objects that are designed to look like guns, like combs or lighters or cigarette lighters. It's kind of interesting because of this issue that people felt that police officers were responding to the sense that people were armed when they weren't. And that's you know, that's something that people could discuss. The number to call, 503-231-8187. But John, I love my kids. My son's coming home from college tonight. We're going to pick him up at the airport. He's 19. And I just...
He'll probably like that Call of Duty game.
No, he doesn't. Actually, he likes Robot Unicorn. We don't need to go there. Whatever.
Okay.
I just had to say, some of my kids' favorite things, when my daughter, who's 17, when she was 2, my kids loved watching, you know, movies. They loved Cinderella, right? For whatever reason. And I got these sets of figurines that were the mice in Cinderella, right? And if people know what I'm talking about, they do. You don't have to. You know, on Christmas night when she was 2, I stayed up all night making a model of Cinderella's castle out of cardboard boxes and a glue gun. And so that, you know, Christmas morning I could put the little mice in there. And I didn't have to paint it. I didn't even have to glue anything on it except the structure. And she loved it. She just loved it. I'll never forget doing that. And my son's favorite stuff, I think, aside from the rubber dinosaurs, which, you know, one of the things I did when I got rubber dinosaurs, after we started to understand about the lead paint thing, I started running them through the dishwasher. I don't know if that's good or if that's bad, but I became kind of obsessive about scrubbing them off. I don't know this issue, John, if there can be remediation in some of these toys, toys with the antimony or anything. Do you have a sense of that? I mean, can you scrub it off? Will it make a difference?
No, I don't think that you can. You know, these things are... You know, they're embedded in all the paint, and it does leach out over time.
Right.
But that's exactly what you don't want to have happen, because, you know, if it leaches out, it's getting into you through your skin, through your mouth, whatever.
Everything, the dishes in the dishwasher. Okay. But I was just going to say, the other thing that my son and my daughter always really loved was any kind of homemade modeling clay type substance. And
I loved my Play-Doh.
Yeah, Play-Doh. I had this book. It was like a craft book that had like 100 different recipes for different kinds of clay that you could make at home. And some of them were edible. I remember one was peanut butter mixed with powdered milk or something like that.
Mm.
And the kids loved anything. I mean, you can make Play-Doh type stuff out of anything, although the recipe for actual Play-Doh style dough is it's a flour and water that's mixed with cream of tartar, which is the important ingredient in snickerdoodle cookies. I'm sure that everyone out there is just writing all this down. But that was really the most important thing that my son loved, was any kind of modeling clay. And he actually has grown to become a really fantastic sculptor. And sometimes it's an issue because he sculpts things out of things that people probably shouldn't be messing around with. But anyway... Just putting that out for, it's, you know, holiday season. What do people do? What do all of us do to indulge the kids? And I also want to take a moment to say, we've been talking about parents. We've been talking about moms and dads. But actually, every adult in this town, every adult in this community, we're all basically helping raise all the kids. And aunties and uncles are key players in any child's life. So I need to put that out there. You know, we're talking to all the adults now, because even people that don't have kids in their life, I know that there are people out there who are going to be thinking about giving contributions to the Sunshine Division or whomever. And so this is a broad message to everyone. And the number to call, 503-231-8187. And Brian's on the phone. It's so cool that all these men are calling about little baby toy kid things. Brian, what do you think, Brian?
Well, I don't know the little baby toy kid things.
But you're a Potter, and you know a few things, too.
Well, that's
about
what I was just going to say. It's a little bit self-promotion, I guess. But,
no problem.
Why don't you, just a thought, instead of Play-Doh, real clay? You have to watch it, of course, but my experience is kids won't eat clay. They're like you said before, they love getting dirty. But there's two or three places in Portland that would probably give you some gift certificate for some time in their studio, like Georgie's and the Stark Street Studio. They might kill me for saying this, but I'm just putting it out there as a possibility. Get them started on some real creative stuff, and they can get dirty into the bargain.
It's true, Brian. And another thing that my son showed us when he was really little was that in Portland, I mean, this place is, the entire city is built on clay. It's the dirt here is clay. And when you are a professional sculptor such as yourself, if you go to any of the art supply stores, they're selling clay that they identify based on where they dug it out of. And there's big clay deposits by the Columbia River. And my son showed that if you go in the backyard with a shovel any time of the year and you dig deep enough, what do you know? There's clay down there.
Yeah.
And he's made whole like models of animals of the rainforest with clay that he, it's dirt. But it's a different kind of dirt, right? It's the dirt that's deep inside.
It's glacial.
A couple feet down. Yeah, exactly.
Big rivers, you know, and even small streams. I mean, we have a lot of clay in Oregon, but it's not really high fire. It's, but you know, it's good enough for playing with, and you can do primitive firings in your backyard, you know. I'm sure there's plenty of people in Portland that would love to help you out with that. So it's a good way of getting kids started into something that they might end up, like I'm hoping to get a couple of apprentices in the next year or something if I stay alive. And you know, it's a good way of, without being elitist and going to some of these fancy art colleges, they can actually, I think the apprenticeship world is due another go around. I mean, even as an architect, I did an apprenticeship in a Scottish office and went to college part-time, and I got, I'm diverging a bit, but I got this kind of experience that, in other words, getting my butt kicked by masons and stuff, that I wouldn't have got at college if I'd gone there solely. But, you know, back to clay, it's, yeah, the Northwest is rich with all kinds of stuff. I mean, they can pick up sticks and make toys of them, which is what other Indian forebears did and maybe still do. Anyway, I'm getting off the beaten track a little bit here, but and I don't want to take up too much time.
Well,
you know, clay is good.
But thanks a lot for calling, Brian. You know what's really fun about the clay thing is that you can go to some of these art stores in Portland and they'll have great big blocks of clay that's not really very expensive, and you could even divide it down and give big chunks of it to kids in your life. But the thing about that clay is when the kids leave it out, they forget about it and it's all dried and you get all annoyed because you're like, oh gosh, they let the clay dry out. You stick it in a bucket with water and it reconstitutes because it's dirt.
Yeah, I love working with clay myself. I've taken courses on it, and it's just a lot of fun. And these creative toys really are fantastic for children. I'm sure some child psychologist has information about the developmental stages and how important it is. But I look back at my childhood, and it was my giant Tinker toys. It was my Play-Doh. It was my Lego set. It was things like that I enjoyed as a child the most.
And I have to take a minute and say, coming up this morning on KABU at 9 on Political Perspectives, professor and author Dr. Ruth Rosen talks about women's participation in the Tea Party movement and the complex motives behind it. At 9:30, host Kathleen Stevenson interviews Eliza Griswold about her new book, The Tenth Parallel, Dispatches from the Fault Line Between Christianity and Islam. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints is off today. Instead, we'll hear Law and Disorder, featuring a story about immigrants from Mexico and Ecuador who challenged sweatshop conditions at a New York City food processor and used innovative legal advocacy and organizing tools to win justice. Also, we'll hear about how human rights groups have filed a legal petition on sexual violence against women and girls in camps for the displaced in Haiti. At 11 on the Recovery Zone, find out about how the Food Alliance can help you pick out your turkey and trimmings. The Food Alliance is a nonprofit organization that certifies farms, ranches, and food handlers for sustainable agriculture and facility management practices. At 10:30, host Dave Mazza interviews travel writer Jeff Greenwald about his new book, Snake Lake, and his experiences in Nepal in the 90s during the People Power Uprising. This is KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're here towards the top of the hour for Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We're live on the phone with John Bartholomew of the Oregon Student Public Interest Research Group. The organization this week released their 25th annual Trouble in Toyland report. If you are out consumer browsing for toys for kids and you do have a smartphone, you can go to their database, their toy safety database at toysafety.mobi. Also, John, how can people find out more about the specifics about your report?
Well, they can just go to ospurg.org/reports, and we've got it up there. But also at toysafety.net, our national office has put the report up there, too, if that's an easier address to remember. So.
Okay, so John, we have just a few minutes left. Again, for people that have tuned in the past 10 or 15 minutes, can you just briefly recap, what do you think are the biggest general toy safety issues that people need to be looking out for as they're out there scouting for charming objects of affection for the people in their families?
Well, as I've said, the key thing to look out for, well, is to just pay attention to what you're buying. Pay attention to if something says it has a choking hazard, and don't buy that if there's a child under three in the household. And if you are unsure if something is a choking hazard, take a toilet paper roll, and if a piece of the toy drops through that, then it's probably a choking hazard. Pay attention to things like soft plastics on toys, because those could contain phthalates, which can cause all sorts of developmental problems and reproductive problems, and kind of shiny surface coatings on toys that look like, you know, silvery coatings, because often those can contain lead or antimony, which are very dangerous metals.
All right, John. John Bartholomew, Oregon Student Public Interest Research Group, that's ospurg.org. Just want to thank you again for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And have a wonderful holiday.
All right, you too.
Hey, and I just want to definitely shout out to people tomorrow night, my best pal, Jamila Bourdon, Super Funk Flood Festival starting at 6 p.m. You're going to be so sad if you don't tune into KBOO tomorrow night at 6 p.m. for a six-hour funk music special. Also, Friday morning, 11 a.m., Maura Cullen's new show for non-theists. Oh, my God. You're definitely want to tune into that. And super congrats to Maura Cullen for a new show this Friday morning at 11. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This has been Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. Want to thank everyone for calling in. And call to the front desk to get more information about these warming centers if you have any questions. Also, call 211-INFO, 211info.org for more information about resources for people that are living in the street, resources for you if you're hitting a hard time this holiday season. And thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for Political Perspectives.